Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast. Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. I hope that you're having a beautiful day. My guest today is somebody I met through Instagram. She found me because my family and I travel, and she wanted to talk more about traveling, which led us to a conversation about our stories and her sharing her story on the Naked Podcast. This podcast is one that left me wanting more to hear more of her story. She leaves so many golden nuggets. Her outlook on life is absolutely beautiful and is so empowering. There are parts where I was literally fist pumping because she just had me just so excited about how she has chosen to look at life and move through darkness. And the most beautiful thing she does now is she helps women who are going through their own journeys. So if you listen to this podcast and you like to connect with her, you can find her at Holding Space Recovery on Instagram. Please note, before listening to this podcast, there is conversations about addictions, abuse. So just be aware before jumping in on this conversation. But I really, really feel like you'll be encouraged, empowered, and feel seen through this podcast. So sending you so much love. I hope that you enjoy. Have a beautiful day. Well, welcome back to Naked Podcast. Again, I'm always so delighted to have new guests on the show every week. And my guest today is somebody I actually never met in person. We met via social media, Instagram, and connected over something we're both passionate about, traveling. So today I have Jess here, who is going to be sharing her story, who I know nothing about, which is kind of like the amazing part. You're like, what's going to unfold? It's pretty exciting. So thank you so much, Jess, for being here and for taking the time to share your story, wherever that leads us today. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I'm so excited.
The feelings are mutual. I'm very, very excited to see where this takes us. And before we get started, maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're living, just kind of where life has you at this moment.
Yeah, awesome. I currently live in Calgary, Alberta. I grew up in Banff, and so living in a city is like a whole new thing for me, but I'm really enjoying it so far. I have two daughters. They're 14 and 11, and I parent by myself. So that's a whole challenge in itself, but they are incredible girls and my world. And I am passionate about people's stories. And I have worked with women in recovery for a while. And so that's kind of where my heart's at. And recently, like you just said, I've had this like deep longing to travel, and I have no idea where it came from. how to do it. I just started like researching it. You've been such an inspiration watching your story with your kids and just how you guys kind of moved on a nudge, and that's kind of where I am right now. So
wow, that's amazing. So you're a Banff girl, that's where you grew up?
Yes, mountain girl, but like kind of like more of like a bougie mountain girl. Like I'm not the kind of person that would wrestle a cougar or like know what kind of trees there are, but like I love the mountains through and through.
That's amazing. I don't think I've ever met anybody that's been like, let's grown up in Banff. It's such a beautiful...
There aren't very many of us, honestly, but like we almost, like I know almost all of them. Like we're connected. We're all connected somehow. But yeah, it was a really incredible place to grow up. And yeah, I miss it all the time. I love the mountains. So
yeah. Do you find yourself going back a lot for visits just to kind of be in that space?
Yeah. What's interesting is that, in Banff, you have to like, you need a reason to reside. So whether that's a business that you own or whatever else. So a lot of my friends have moved away from Banff. So I don't have that connection as much, but my friend's parents live there. So I'll go back and visit occasionally. And anytime I can get to the mountains, I'm there. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite spot or like a favorite hike or something that like people who don't know Banff? I mean, it's the most, one of the most amazing touristy spots. It's like, it's gotten so touristy over the years, but it's just, you basically are living in the mountains. It's the most beautiful place.
It's the most beautiful place. And you kind of take it for granted when you live there. It's like you almost forget that the mountains exist, that you get so used to them. So now going back, they hold a whole different, like I see them completely differently. But this isn't like a hidden gem in Banff, but I love the hike Tunnel Mountain because it's an easy hike. And then once you're up there, you can see all of the town. There are secret parts on the top of Tunnel Mountain that you can go to that like the tourists don't really know about, where you get like a bigger view of things. And I love that. That's kind of nostalgic for me because I've done it since I was super little. Wow. So
maybe I'll have to book a private tour with you to all the notes.
Yeah, come anytime. I'll take you. There's other secret places I could show you, but
perfect.
We'll keep those under wraps.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. I would like take you up on that offer. I've lived near Banff for years, but not, you know, when you kind of get used to the things you don't realize. It's like being near the beach and not going to the beach, you know, it's kind of
completely. You take it for granted a little.
Yeah, totally do.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. Well, now I know a new Banff, know my own Banff girl.
Yeah.
What are you drinking today? I always love to hear what people are up to with their
drinks. Funny because I wanted to like bring like a mug and drink coffee because coffee is my favorite drink. But after 12, I don't drink coffee. So I'm drinking a limoncello sparkling water. It's my favorite.
That sounds delicious and fresh.
It's so good. Yeah. It's like holding on to summer, you know, like a little bit longer.
Because we're lucky right now. It's still like very summer-esque. The days are still beautiful. We can be outside.
It's so beautiful. I'm so thankful. I'm a warm weather girl.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. Anytime I can escape the cold, I'm like, yes.
Same. Which is interesting because I grew up in really cold temperatures. But like, no, anytime there's sun, I'm there. Count me in.
Taking it all in. Oh, that sounds good. I was getting a little adventurous today. I was like, oh, I'm kind of craving like a London fog. So I attempted to make my own version of it.
Nice. One of my favorite drinks too. So.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of, it still has a bit of crispness outside. Like it's warm, but in the morning it was quite crisp. I was like, okay, I'll go with something a little cozy.
Yeah. We went different today.
Totally.
We're very opposite.
You're holding on to summer and I'm bracing for the winter. I haven't been in the winter for a long time. It's been quite a few years since the pandemic, really, since I've been here for the winter.
Right. Lucky you.
Yeah, I do count myself very lucky and blessed to not have done that, which is why, like, sometimes I think people think about traveling because they're like, how could I escape the cold? Like, even if it's just for 6 months out of the year.
That's 100% my motivation. Like,
is it?
Not all of my motivation, but it's really high up there. Get me out of minus 30
right?
at any cost.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to ask you if that was part of like the motivation. You're like, how can I do this? And still.
Yeah. Every time the winter comes, I always have this thought, like, I wonder what I could do to escape this. And I also have the thought, why do I live here? Like winter is like 70. Well, colder weather is like 70% of the time, like in a year. Well, that's extreme, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's so much of the time. So
it is.
Yeah, I do think to myself, I wonder why I still live here. But there's obviously reasons.
There's the people, right? It's the people in the
connection. It is the people. The people. Yes.
I met a guy the other day at Costco, and he was like, "How long have you lived here?" I was like, "Well, I mean, my whole life, really, other than a couple of years." And he's like, "I'm from Guatemala." And he's like, "My family and I moved here, and we're trying to get to the States. We need to get away from the cold."
I mean, fair. That's
I'm
so
like,
fair.
Yeah, you and everybody else is like, how do we escape the cold?
I know. I so admire the snowbirds. They have it figured out.
They do.
They are only here for the nice parts of the year.
Right.
And then they go away.
Yeah. It's the best thing. It's like being here in summertime, even now, you can't imagine the coldness. Like it's hard to even like fathom that. It's like how will it actually get that cold? And then it just comes overnight. You're like, oh, it's just
happened. All of a sudden it's here and you're wearing 17 layers and surviving.
Surviving. You have nosicles, like everything is happening. You're just trying to
only like a tiny part of yourself is showing.
Everyone's like in their houses. I mean,
we
were in Scotland last winter and everybody's so friendly, and we'd go to parks, anywhere we'd go, we'd meet friends, we're like getting numbers, like, wow, everybody's so friendly here. And then it got cold. And I was like, everybody stops talking.
Yeah, nobody talks.
No, everybody's in their house. Nobody's trying to make friends with anybody. They're just trying to get to the destination.
Yeah. We're all trying to survive. We're just like in our own seasonal depression inside our homes, dealing with it however we need to.
Especially in Alberta, because it's such a like an emotional, this weather is so emotional.
Yes.
I feel like it's cold and then it's like pretty warm and then it's really cold. And it's like in the same day, you can be like, I'm wearing a t-shirt, I'm wearing a sweater, I'm wearing a parka. Like it's like everything.
It's so true. You have to always be prepared. I always have layers in my car. So it, just in case.
Yeah. Just in case the shift just comes. The Chinook weather.
The Chinook weather. It's so true.
We try to just roll with it. But yes, I'm grateful it's so warm. I'm like, I'm just hoping that it lasts till the new year. I know it's a big wish. But
no, me too.
Are
me
you?
Too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Summer forever is what I say. But like, I'll take fall. Anything above like 10 degrees.
Yeah.
Is fine with me.
It's totally fine. It's very doable. Yeah you can still be out and about.
I can survive it.
Yeah, that's my prayer. It can last.
I'm with you.
but not that us are hoping for it. Maybe it'll actually, you know, happen.
Yeah, let's hope it until it's here.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind a brown Christmas. It's okay.
No, that's fine with me too. Who needs snow? Not me.
Exactly. Christmas music is enough for Christmas. I feel like that covers all the things. Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Well, I'm so grateful you're here and hanging out today. Aww. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about recording, and I remember my first time when I even thought about doing it. I was just so overwhelmed with where would I start, and like there's so many parts and points in life that feel like everything changed based on this. You know, being a mom changes your life in a way you could never expect. You know, and that's enough of a shift. And going through like perimenopause, all these things, and just there's so many seasons in life that change, and it's sometimes hard to pick one. So I told you before you came, like, just see what comes to you in the moment. And then it feels like people can have less stress around that instead of having to think about what they're going to say. It's just like, just come, your body and heart kind of knows where it needs to go. So so thank you for being here and for
I'm so grateful. It's funny, when you told me about that question, I had let one of my friends know about it, and she said, "Oh gosh, how are you going to choose?" And it's true, but it's funny. There's one thing that I think for everyone, there's probably one thing that comes to mind right away. So,
where, when you think of that question, what came to your mind was like, that is the time when everything changed for me.
Well, it's when you first asked me, I instantly knew. And it's kind of a pivotal moment in my life. But I was married for 8, almost 9 years. And the point when everything changed for me was the moment where I felt like it was okay to leave my marriage. Mm-hmm. That was really big, because I had grown up in kind of a more religious circle, and my parents are quite spiritual, and my grandparents, and I was one of the first in my grand family to decide to leave my marriage. And so I remember standing on the stairs after a really big fight that we had. My girls were really small. They were 4 and 2, just under 2. Wow. And I never imagined that would be my story. So then on the stairs, after we had this argument, I found myself just falling apart. And then I felt this like settling, this like knowing that just said, it's okay. And so that was the moment where everything changed for me, but also where I changed, not just who I was, but kind of breaking off all the stories or the information that I had gotten, or the perceptions from other people, or how I had viewed marriage altogether. Everything kind of shifted in that one moment. And my life from that point, which was over 10 years ago until now, it's completely, I don't even recognize the person on the stairs anymore. So that's kind of that pivotal moment for me, the time when everything changed.
Wow. So you're sitting on, like, to go back a bit, so you're sitting on the stairs and you're just like, was it your heart giving you permission to not, to be like, it's okay? Or what was that feeling that you're like, everything changed? Was it just like your mind just switched and like, oh, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, I think that I had fought so hard for a marriage to sustain a marriage or to stay in a marriage or to even champion the person. But there had been lots of things that had led up to that moment for me, things that I knew weren't right, things that I knew I didn't want for my daughters. That was a big thing for me, is thinking about would I be okay if this was my girls' lives, if this was their story, if they were walking this out. And I think it was like this argument with the like religious kind of Christian side of me, saying, you know, like, this marriage is forever. And I truly think that it can be. But for me in my story, I had fought that, being like, I know this isn't right. These things that are happening, that are going on, this isn't the story that I want my life to tell. Right. And so in that moment when I heard it was okay, it was, to me, it's like a higher power, God, telling me, you know, like, this isn't actually what I'm asking you to fight for. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to leave it. This is actually okay. So yeah, it was an internal battle, my own internal battle, my own convictions that I had that I really didn't know why I had them. It just was kind of something that I had grown up knowing or thinking and had chosen to believe. And so it was this internal fight, something I'd always believed in, something I'd always thought, something I'd actually judged people for in the past too. You know, growing up kind of in that circle, you end up having perceptions of people that just, you don't really know why, but it's kind of something that sticks with you that you've heard over and over again. And so I had to face all of those judgments and kind of look at myself and be like, okay, this is going to be my story now, and letting go of all those old, just like perceptions and judgments. So yeah, that it's okay moment was really important for me, because it released me of all the past views that I had, those, the past judgments and all of those things. So.
Wow. And how did you find people in your world were for you in that season? And what was that like? Cause I know there can be a lot of unspoken expectations that can come in religious circles. So how is that for you stepping into that?
It's funny, because when you asked that, it made me emotional, and I didn't expect that question. I mean, I am an emotional person. I'll cry this whole time, but it was really hard. I think because I had protected the facade of our marriage, I wanted everyone to think that everything was okay. So I polished it up as much as I could. Mm-hmm. When I finally decided, it was a big shock to people. And so it was not received well by many. It was, especially certain family members, my close family members, my siblings specifically, were all great and very supportive. But there is extended family that just wanted an explanation, didn't understand, thought they deserved to know the whole story. And I felt very judged and very criticized. And it was a very lonely time for me, because I had also, it was confusing for me to walk it out, let alone explain it to somebody else. Yeah. So I felt the weight of other people's expectations or judgments a lot in that time. And it was really difficult.
Yeah. Standing on your own, because people want an answer you're not needing to give them, but they want something to give them their own understanding. And yet you're just weeding through it yourself. I mean, can imagine just the years of what it took to you to get to that point even. Like, that's the moment when things change, but there's, I imagine, years of you wondering, how long can I stay?
Yeah, there's so long, so many years of me thinking like, this isn't okay. But then, like I said, wanting to just make it okay for me and for other people. And it's funny what happens when people don't understand a decision or can't quite reconcile what it looks like, how their instinct is to like demand an answer. And I think I can sometimes do that too, where I don't understand something and I'm like, make it make sense to me.
Yeah.
But the truth is that it's not going to make sense to somebody who thinks a certain way or has believed a certain thing for so long. And so I had to be okay, which was really hard, letting go of the expectations or the points of view of other people. Because when I would walk into certain rooms, I would go in thinking that they already had the story lined up for who I was, what I had done. And I would walk in feeling the like eyes on me, thinking everyone was talking about me or whatever else.
Yeah. But
yeah. It was really that time. It was the hardest time of my life. Just like letting go of the perceptions of others, because I really did care what people thought.
Yeah.
And it mattered to me that my family supported me, and explaining it all was not easy. And sometimes I just found myself not having any words at all. So,
yeah. Do you feel like that's what kind of kept you in that for so long, was knowing that people would have a lot of questions and having to bear that what feels like shame, but doesn't need to be, but it is?
Yeah, totally. I think that I felt so much shame from even having the thought, let alone walking it out. And like I mentioned earlier, being in circles where I had heard the narrative of when people would leave marriages, or their broken marriages, broken families, all of those terms, and just thinking like, man, I know what they're going to say, 'cause I've heard it all before.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really hard for me to make that final decision. Also, I didn't want to, I felt like it was giving up. I felt like there was failure attached to it. Like if I finally admit how bad it was, then I was failing. And that was confusing for me, because I'm competitive and I don't like to fail. And so I fought for a really long time, until finally it just was, there was nothing left to fight for. And so it was interesting, because it was this internal battle I was having with what I knew was true, or what I was willing to do, and then also knowing the consequences that would come with it. So it was not easy. And it took a very long time for me to be, to resolve that, like, what people thought was their own thoughts, not that they didn't really need to stick with me. And just, it really mattered to me what I heard and what I knew. And that one sentence, or that one time when I was sitting on the stairs, kept ringing in my head that it was okay. And so each step that I took forward with the divorce and with custody with my kids and all of the other things that came with it, I just realized, like, that's what was true for me. That voice was what was true, and it was all okay. So,
like that settling, like you just knew this was the right thing, the right next
yes.
thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. And so, what was kind of your? I think, just think, people who are listening and who may be in a similar space and juggling with all of these thoughts and shame and feelings of people's judgment, and what was your next step? Like, of coming out of that. So you've chosen, you're on the stairs, and then it's like, what's next? Like, I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, you know, it's really difficult, because you think, okay, I have a home, I have a spouse, I have these things, and now that's all going to change. And what's in it for me? Like, you can only go to a shelter for 21 days. Like, there's all these questions, and how will I provide for my family, that keeps people in those unhealthy spaces, toxic spaces, because we're afraid of how we do it on our own.
Oh, totally. And I circumstances had brought me to a place where I wasn't working. I was just a full-time mom. And so we had traveled. My daughter's father was a hockey player, so we were in Sweden and in the States, and it just had meant that I wasn't working. And so when I left, I exactly that had no real plan. Everyone thinks that there has to be a plan in place.
Right.
And I just knew that I had to, that all I knew was that I had to go. Mm. And so I went to my parents' house, which I think having some support system, whether they understood it or not, my parents were split actually on support. My mom was really, and now everything's great, but my mom was very present, and she is very loyal. And so she was like, whatever you, like, I'm just with you. And my dad really struggled, because he had grown a relationship with my daughter's father. And so that was really difficult for him. But I went to their house regardless, and they took the three of us in. And within the first couple weeks, I knew I needed help. So I actually there's a free counseling service with this in the small town that my parents live. Okay. And I went there, and I had, I think, like 6 sessions with this counselor. And one of the first things she asked me was like, okay, well, so now what? Now what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. And so she had me write down 5 things that I wanted to try. Okay. And it could be anything, because I didn't have a job. So I was kind of figuring out, like, how am I going to make money? What am I, these, they were little girls.
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out how to navigate all of that with them. So I wrote down a list of 5 things that I wanted to try, and within like maybe a couple months, I had tried one, and it was a I had a gift box company, just started it,
Oh, wow.
decided, did it with one of my best friends, and within the first few weeks, we had like hundreds of orders, and so I'm like trying that thing, and then later on, I've tried everything on that list like since then.
That's amazing.
But I think like having someone a different perspective. She wasn't a Christian counselor. She was a different voice. It wasn't a voice of someone who was in my life or really familiar. So there wasn't judgment or like bias on any in any way. So hearing some things from her was really, really, really important. Getting outside of the regular narrative for me was like the best thing I could do. And honestly, like one step at a time, I tried my best to not get too overwhelmed. I remember being really sad, and my mom came down, it was on our anniversary, and my mom came downstairs and was like, "You can be sad. This is perfectly fine, but I'm putting a timer on. And when the timer goes off, you're gonna choose to do something different." And that I've used that practice like
Wow.
1,000 times since, because it's important to feel those feelings, but like at some point I had to, for me and for my daughters, decide to do something different. So those were the 2 things I think that the kind of push started me into doing things different and trying new things.
Wow, that's incredible. Like I love the idea of 5 things. So it's getting your mind outside of like the internal battle that you're going through and the pain, and getting yourself looking outwards to like, what could I do and what do I want to do? It sounds like that would have, that's such a beautiful, like, it's almost like just changing the way you're tilting your head, like looking a different direction, you know?
In a way you maybe wouldn't have before.
That's incredible. And then having the time limit on it, because I think sometimes pain can feel so like we're just dripping in it, and it can be hard to like pull yourself out of that. But then giving yourself those time and teaching your kids that too, like it's good to feel all of these things. Like no feeling is wrong, but if we just stay here, it can hold us, and darkness can consume us, you know.
And also being t one lesson one of my friends told me is 'cause I was resisting crying or being emotional in front of my daughters. And one of my friends said, "That's why are you hiding your emotions from your girls? Why aren't you showing them like that it's actually important to feel that you feel those feelings and that you can move through them?" And so in turn they can have those big feelings and move through them. And that was big for me too. So it wasn't like I was crying in front of them all the time, but there were times where I would bring them into that kind of pain part with me and just be like, try to explain it to them and then help them to move through those confusing times too. So it's so funny how you look, because I haven't talked about this a lot, but like when you look back on those times and you think, oh man, like I've grown so much, but there's also so many lessons in those like really difficult spaces that you take with you like every step of the way, but maybe don't acknowledge all the time. So I love thinking about it.
That it just become part of who you are now, and probably part of just who your girls are and how you do things, but not thinking about actively being like setting a timer, but now it's just part of how you look about the situation. Like I can sit in this, but we're not going to live here in this, like that. And how was that for like your littles and navigating that? Was that a process? Like I remember years ago I went through something difficult, and it was like, oh, I feel so bad because I'm not like taking care of my kids like I would normally do this. And I remember a friend saying to me, you can't teach your kids in a book compassion. You can't teach them kindness in a book about being kind, but you can teach it in life, and they're learning compassion, and that's not a bad thing. And it's like, oh, okay, they're learning it from living it.
It's so true, and learning it from living it. It was we were doing it together too, which I think was I never felt alone, fully alone, because I had them with me. And then kind of like wanting to protect them from certain things, but also knowing that they were totally exposed. So trying to soften the blow to certain things. Their dad was involved and then not involved, and so having to like help them through those ebbs and flows and up and downs. And just like explaining to them, one of the hardest things was the same kind of thing I struggled with, that their story wasn't like everybody else's. That, why do these people have parents that live together and my parents don't live together? And explaining to them that it doesn't have to Family doesn't have to look conventional. It can look like what we decided to look like. And walking them through all of that was not easy, but there was lessons in every part of it. And it made us really close. Like the three of us, I just feel that like the luckiest because the three of us are very close. They're 14 and 11 now, and like little mini versions of me looks wise, but we're just super tight. And I think that a lot of it is because we walk through really hard things together. It's like friendships or any other kind of relationships. When you walk through tragic moments and you share with each other and you're there for one another, I think that that just makes it so that there's a bond that is like different than other people's. So we haven't had it easy, but we've always had each other. So,
And they know that you're a safe place for them, so
Yes.
they can come to you with all those big and those. I think, like you said, like leaving room for the big emotions, whatever that looks like.
Yes. Yeah, because especially they're girls too, so there are different you know this. There's different emotions that come too, so helping them understand that like we all have these emotions, how we walk through them and navigate it is really important. Even if it feels messy, it's okay as long as we're like acknowledging them and moving through them. So,
Leaving room for all of them, not shaming any of them, which there are so many ups and downs with us females.
Exactly.
Wow, so like coming through that now, and it's been 10 years, you said, since you've gone through that. Is there, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
10 years. And so where, so you tried all these five things. Have one of any of those five things been something that you're still doing? Is it part of what you like has become your thing? You
Good
talked earlier.
question.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I'd like to learn more about that.
I think yes. I wish I had the list. But yeah, I tried all of them, and the one thing that kind of stuck is I've always been really passionate about, I think because I went through a really difficult time when people had like I mentioned, like different perceptions, and I felt a lot of shame. So shame has always been something that's like resonated with me, other people's shame and like helping them move through it. So something that has kind of stuck for me is I'm a coach and I help like I'm a recovery coach and I've helped counsel some women and like I worked actually for a church for a while too in women's ministry. So I felt really passionate about women and their stories. And then I worked at a recovery home for women where the same thing, I was helping them. And that's the thing that stuck is that I know I love helping people. I know I really enjoy being a listening ear because I know how important that was for me in that time when someone could just sit there and hold my grief with me and not have judgment. So that's kind of what I've been passionate about is that part. I also do like social media marketing and like a bunch of things on the side that were some of the things I wanted to try that still are remaining. But
Amazing.
a big thing I learned about myself is that because when I was a mom, I got married pretty young. When I was a mom, I didn't work, didn't go to university, didn't pursue. And this isn't to be like poor me, because that's what I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to do all those things. But when you're thrown out on your own and you're like, now I have to figure stuff out, all of a sudden I was like, what things do I want to do? And so a big thing I've learned from all of it is that I like to do everything. So I want to try everything. The other day I was like, I think I could be a tattoo artist. And like, I don't think I
Music.
could, like, but I would try. I would
That's
try to do it.
amazing.
But I like learning. I like a challenge. I love people, and their stories. So this, like talking with you, the things that you talk with people about, I think is so intriguing because everyone has a story and everyone has a journey. And lots of times we don't have a platform to even say things out loud. Like walking down the street, you wouldn't even know people's story. But then there's things like this, platforms like this, where you can hear it. So yeah, people are my passion, that's for sure. And helping them, just being a listening ear, I think. I love to help. So.
Do you think that's been part of your recovery? Like as I've gone through my journey and just looking at how we heal sometimes, it's when we can see outside of our own grief and we can help and hold somebody else, that can be very healing to our own journey and help us grow and move beyond the things that we feel stuck in.
Oh, completely. It's funny how life takes you full circle sometimes because the reason that I had decided to leave the marriage in the first place was there was some alcohol abuse and drug abuse present, and some other forms of abuse. And then I ended up working in a recovery home for women who struggle with alcohol and substance abuse or have been in abusive relationships. And if you would have asked me 10, 15 years ago, if that's where that's the space I would be in, I would have said absolutely not. I didn't have understanding for it or compassion for it. And so I think it's really interesting that that's where I ended up. And it has helped so much in my healing journey, even just to understand the other side of it, what he was struggling with, even like what he must have been thinking during that time, where he must have been in order to put certain things ahead of his family. And so it's helped me have more compassion for him and for myself too, and for the whole situation, because like we mentioned earlier, everyone has a story. And when you're married, you want to connect your stories together so much, which is you end up writing a story together. Yeah. But there also are certain parts that are just specifically yours. Mm-hmm. And so acknowledging that his story was his own too is really important for me. And I don't want to flash forward too much, but like speed ahead. But yeah. Now we have a relationship where we understand each other, and it's not perfect, and it's not what I would love it to be. But we have compassion for one another. We have understanding for one another, and it's cordial, which is like, there's no way I would have ever thought we could get here.
Wow.
But a lot of it has to do with the growth that I've had in my life and my journey, and the things that I've learned from the places that I've been and the stories that I've heard. So yeah, that has been a major part of my healing. A major part.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. You're saying like being in those spaces, you're understanding his point of view as well, which mm-hmm. I imagine, like you say, creates a bit grace, you know,
yes.
or something, you know, like yes. a little bit realizing the struggle within him, the disease that is,
mm-hmm.
And having a bit of like, imagine your heart could soften maybe just a little bit because you mm-hmm. know what he's struggling with, and also leaving room for yourself to go like, no, like this is still the very right thing for me, and I'm healing.
Yes.
And this is a process, and I'm not turning around. It's just like awareness of what we were both going through, and sitting with people that are in the exact same spot that you were in.
Yeah, totally. Like, and it's funny because even when I was working for the church, because people knew my story, it was incredible how many women would come out of the woodworks talking about their journeys or their stories and their struggles with their marriage. And it wasn't always that, hey, I want to get divorced. Like, how did you do it? That wasn't it. It was him really struggling with this. And like, I know, you know, mm-hmm. what it's like to struggle. And because I had talked about it openly, I feel like that made it so that people felt safer. I always say that vulnerability makes space for others, like more vulnerability for other people to be vulnerable. So the second that I was willing to be like, hey, this is my story, it's messy, and it could feel shame. I remember feeling shameful and all the other things, was the moment that people would come to me and be like, hey, I know my story is safe with you.
Yeah.
So that was always really interesting for me, was that it wasn't always this like, hey, like get me out of my marriage kind of thing. It was like this, hey, I am really having a hard time, and I feel like you understand this, like can you help me here?
Mm-hmm.
And that has been really interesting and encouraging for me too.
Yeah.
So
I think too, when you're honest and you're real and vulnerable, it gives people permission to be honest and vulnerable in their own situation.
Yes.
It allows for this like authenticity to arise, where oftentimes we kind of like hide things, we hold things because we're not sure people will think, and it looks like everybody else has it together, you know.
Yes.
So it's like, how could my marriage be so bad, or my relationship or my things be so bad? Everybody else is just like perfect. And then somebody like yourself is like honest and real and authentic. It's like mm-hmm. why this podcast is even here, is so that people that are listening can understand that they're not alone in their journey, and that it's not about escaping it. It's about embracing it and knowing that you're not alone in it. And that people
yes.
have come through, whatever their version of coming through it looks like, but somebody else has come through. So it gives people hope. Like, you give them hope for whatever their story transforms into.
Right, totally. And like you said, just gives them permission to acknowledge what's actually there instead of like what I did, instead of trying to cover it up and make it look pretty and kind of like push people like away from focusing on what actually is present. I had one friend when I told her, I didn't tell very many people, but I had one friend when I told her that I was like struggling in my marriage and that I was going to leave or that I had left actually. And I went to explain it all and she stopped me and she just said, "Do you think that maybe it's okay if you just said things didn't work out?" And I was like, it was such a gift to not have to explain it all because we feel like we have to explain our grief or explain our trauma or explain everything so that people are on board with us. But that was such a gift just to be like, wherever you are, I'm just there with you. So that's kind of what I take too, is I want people just to know like, hey, you don't have to like polish this up or make it better or explain it away. I'm just here with you. And it's amazing how people just feel supported and cared for and loved in those moments, just from even that. So.
What is the one thing you find comes up in conversation with women that you're counseling or coaching, that you feel would have been really beneficial for 10 year ago you, to know?
Some one thing. I always talk with women about, because we get so caught up in the little details or like the or even the big things, and I like to like kind of like hone it in and focus on like one thing. So the first assignment I give every woman I counsel at the end of our talk is, what kind of woman do you want to be? And I think once we start thinking about that, then we have something to aim at. And if I would have, when I was even in the midst of all the chaos, thought about like, okay, like what kind of woman am I aiming to be? Like, is this aligned with that, who that woman is? Are the actions that I'm doing or the things that I'm saying even out of my mouth, are those aligned with the kind of woman that I'm aiming to be at? Because if they're not, then we have to somehow pivot or restructure or refocus. And so I think that would have been really helpful for me. And I always find that when I ask women that, it's like a light bulb goes off. For them, where they think like, oh, like I didn't realize that I had a say in that. And we do have a say in it because the story that I was in was this controlled woman who's at home all the time with two small children in an abusive relationship, trying to navigate and manage her husband's addictions and vices. And that wasn't who I knew I wanted to be. I knew that there was more. And so if I would have been able to think those things back then, I would have known sooner maybe, or been able to walk it out easier had I known what I was aiming at in the first place. So.
Wow. I like literally as you're talking, I'm just like inside, like just like that is so incredible, Jess. I think so often we think of what we aren't instead of seeing what we are. And so it's our limits our view and narrows it so much that we can't see what we want to be. So so often we'll say, I don't want to be that, but we don't know what we want to be, so we don't know where we're going. And that is so, that like nugget that you just did there, like that is so good and so important for everyone, but especially those who are like, how do I restart life? Like, how do I do this? What do I want this to look like? It can be so hopeless and so like, what now? And we can get stuck in a spiraling of all the things we aren't or all the things we can't do anymore, that we don't see all the things that we can and are. And that is powerful. Like I'm really, that is so good.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I just feel like it moves you from a posture of hopelessness or like even confusion or roadblocks into a place of possibility. And I'm a huge advocate for possibility because the barriers I've seen with women in the past or even present is that there's this hopelessness that's present instead of being like, oh, like it actually is possible to get somewhere. And so exactly what you said is so true. And instead of being like, oh, I know I don't want to be all these things, or maybe I am all these things that I don't want to be. It's looking forward instead of like grabbing hold of things behind us or like holding on to things that are present. It's just kind of a forward motion, which is like really, I think that in the last few, I just turned 40 this year.
Happy
And
birthday.
so, thank you. And so I think that there's also something empowering that happens in those kind of like big, like, monumental moments, decades. Mm-hmm. But I started thinking, like, man, I want my life to look like forward motion. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I encourage the women that I talk to look at, too, instead of it being, like, a pulling back or a stagnant space. Because if we're looking forward, then it means that, like, we're stepping into something and there's movement. And, so that's always been something. Well, it's recently been something that's been like really tugging on my heart. So
it's like looking forward with hope instead of looking backwards with disdain.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That sounds, I feel like people who are coaching with you, actually, maybe you could share if people are listening and they do want to connect with you and they do want to, if you are taking on more clients with coaching, maybe how could they connect with you?
Yeah. Well, I have do most of my stuff through Instagram.
Okay.
So I have an Instagram handle. It's called Holding Space. Okay. And right now I have like a handful of clients just because figuring out a bunch of things that I want to do in life, but I would be happy to take on more. A lot of the clients that I coach right now, because of my last job at the recovery home, a lot of them are people who have struggled with addiction or, some kind of thing, like whether it's mental health or abusive relationships. Those are kind of the women that I've been talking to.
Okay.
Or family members of people who are caught in addiction or struggling. So, and I honestly, it's my favorite thing I do. It feels like not fun, but it's like community connection. It's, mm-hmm. I love that so much, talking with people, hearing their, you probably don't realize that you're coaching too. Like in these kinds of scenarios where you're like encouraging conversation and finding out who they are. And so I love it so much, but yeah, it's holding space and And I love it so much.
Wow. That's incredible. I feel like just getting to know you a little bit more here, I'm like, I can't imagine the light that you bring into people's lives. Aww. And just what you've gone through and who you are. Like it's been, like you said, you are close with your girls, but it's not because it's been easy. It's been a hard mm-hmm. road and you've worked through some, like even looking back, you said today, like seeing all the growth, it's interesting. We can't always see the little moments of growth when we look back. We're like, man, that's a lot of change and a lot of movement.
So much. Yeah, like I don't even know who that was. I look back and I'm like, who was that broken person on the stairs? But she's still, there's still, that's me. I still resonate with that story. But yeah, it's so much happens. So much growth happens over so many years, and I'm so thankful for the lessons. So
No, that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. When you think about just the whole, maybe this is a loaded question, but from where you were even 19 years ago, I guess when you would have been mm-hmm. getting married to where you are now, is there something that you would want younger self to know, being the listener that's here today, to know about journey, about marriage, about life, that you haven't talked about yet?
That again, now I'm emotional. I think like a really big thing I would want to say is it doesn't have to look a certain way and to let go of like the idea that it does. Cause I think growing up in the kind of circle that I was, I thought I had to get married, have kids, like that there's like kind of like some steps involved to it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to look conventional. Life can actually look like whatever you choose for it to look like. And that shame, even though we want to tuck ourselves into it, shame is really heavy and hard, but that with community and self-reflection and whatever kind of peaceful moments you can have, it's easy to take it off. It's heavy, but it's easier to take it off when there's like certain steps and certain things in place. A big part for me was support and community, having people just be with you, hear you, not judge you. And it's sometimes hard to find those spaces, but it's so important. I would tell younger self that you can do anything you want to, because there's no way I would have thought I would do half the things I'm doing or think or dream about half the things I'm thinking about. Hmm. And there's limitations to being a single mom. But I think I would tell younger self that like those limitations are just kind of, they actually end up pushing you forward and projecting you into a space that is for you. Mm-hmm. And that the challenge is actually something that is worthwhile nothing, it's not that nothing good or worthwhile doesn't come without a struggle, but I just find the things that are kind of a little bit more difficult, feel, that you feel the reward of it so much more. So kind of embrace the struggle, I think, is what I would tell her. Man, thinking back to 19 years ago me, it's like, I think I also would be like, run for the, just kidding, run for the hills. No. But the nice, the interesting thing about my journey is that I can't look back and regret anything because I have two girls who are the product of something and so many lessons. So I don't look back anymore with regret. I look back and I think about like how much stronger and resilient we are and how grateful I am for the journey, even though it wasn't the way I would have planned it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That is really good. So you talk about all that they've done some crazy things. What's one of the things that has most surprised you about what you've accomplished or what you've done, or that you're just like, I didn't imagine doing this? Is there something that stands out like that was the craziest one?
Oh, honest, there's so many, but the biggest, the first one that came to mind is like maintaining a lifestyle that is like, I don't know, being a single mom and like raising kids and financially being okay and working like a bunch of different jobs or putting myself out there and mostly just like putting myself out there and getting jobs, or because I would never have imagined I could do that. But yeah, just kind of being brave in certain spaces that I never thought I would have been before, and raising two kids on my own, although it's not fully on my own, I have lots of support from family and friends, but raising two kids on my own, there's no way I would have thought I would be able to do that. There's no way.
That's so a major accomplishment.
And they're good kids too, which that alone, I'm like, oh, I feel pretty proud of that, even though that's just who they are. But
Is there something that you would recommend or that you've done that has allowed you to cope and to move through the pain? So you've got, you know, 9-year you, and it's like, was there something that you turned to? Because being a mom is demanding, even when you have a partnership to help you with that. And how did you create space for yourself to cope and to move through? Because like you are such a light and you are so like full of joy. And I just wonder like what did you do?
Okay, this is going to be a really simple answer and a boring one.
Okay, I love it.
But I swear by it. And I think it will resonate with you. I just knew that I had to walk all the time because it was like this pocket of time where I could have space to myself and room to think. And even with small kids, you can kind of find time here and there to walk. And it would clear my mind. It would help me think about things I wanted. I would walking and reading, which seems so simple, but they've really changed everything for me. I remember even when I was coming to the conclusion of knowing that I needed to leave, I used to walk in the evenings in winter, bundled up. But it was space to be able to have thoughts. And because life is so busy and because there's so many things pulling us in different directions and because like even our phones are like distraction, but also just like that's how sometimes we cope is just like scrolling our phones. But for me, putting away my phone, going for a walk, I do this weird thing where I'll like go to places where nobody is, like there's nobody else around, and I'll like talk or pray out loud, say things out loud. And it helped me so much to process. And I honestly think that that's what's helped me maintain joy and maintain perspective and also like find peace. It's just like that alone time. And I think that's different for everybody, but for me, it really was just like invested time by myself, processing things out loud, like a crazy person on a walk. It really did change things for me. And then you kind of come to a place where you're like, what's important? And you can see things more clearly when you're in nature or getting fresh air or without like noise around you. So I found that so, so, so helpful for me. Honestly, when I think back to every hard moment, I can see myself walking after or during them and crying during some of those walks or like laughing out loud because of a thought that I would have, but there always would come clarity. Every single time I had those quiet moments, clarity would come in some form or another. And it wouldn't always be easy clarity because I would be like, that's not what I want to do, or this doesn't feel right. But it would at least be like that the same kind of voice that I heard on the stairs, that's what I hear on the walks.
Wow. It is simple, but I understand what you're talking about. Nature is one of the greatest healers. I think if we can just be in nature, it's just like there's so much growth and death that's constantly happening in nature.
Yes.
The letting go, you know, like you've got a new leaves coming and then those new leaves eventually let go. It's just such a good teller of how to do life, how to live through the hard things and then let them go.
Yes.
I actually interested. You're saying you go on walks and talk to yourself. Cause that does, some people might like, that's kind of strange, but I actually did that a couple of years ago. I was going through something really difficult and I would feel things here inside of me that I'm like, okay, I need to do that. But then my actions wouldn't, they wouldn't show what I was actually feeling. So I'd go on walks and tell myself like, Janelle, like, and I'd just be honest with myself. It's like I think of it as my 80-year-old self talking to me, my wiser self talking to me, being like, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to let go. And it was such a healing, it was therapy. It was like, going through and just talking to myself. Sometimes I would record it. And so I could listen to it throughout the week and remind myself of what I needed to hear. And it's just like, okay, yes, I'm moving forward. I need to do these things. And just like, it was like the wise counsel that sometimes just gets so muted and numbed out by the noise in my own head or by the distraction.
Yes.
It's like that space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to start recording myself talking to myself. That's good advice. Now, because I sometimes am like, oh, that was a really good thought. But then I forget all of the content. Now I'm going to record myself.
I just use voice memos popping on. I'm like, okay, girl, here we go.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my goodness. I am so grateful for our conversation today.
Oh, and me too.
It's really lovely. Before we end, I always love asking people, is there something in life that is bringing you joy? And because I think it's something we sometimes, well, often don't talk about. We'll talk about the weather before we talk about what's bringing you joy. So.
Oh, good one. That's such a good, again, perspective shift. Connecting with you lately, I've been dreaming up so many travel plans with my girls. And so honestly, like hearing your story and how you guys just like, my favorite part of it is when you talk about like the sticky notes, like those big sticky notes and like writing down all these things. And so that's kind of been our focus. And it's been really good for me to dream a little. I'm a dreamer just as I am, but it's like this possibility and dreams kind of coming in the line with like it actually happening, with like the actual possibility of something happening. So that's been bringing me so much joy, is just like thinking about what life could look like. And this like continuous theme of life not looking conventional. It doesn't have to look a certain way. So I think that's been bringing me lots of joy, is letting go of the idea that I have to do things a certain way. And being able to bring my girls into that story and be like, let's think outside the box. Like, what do we want life to look like? And so, that's been something that every day, it's like an easy joy giver for me.
Yeah. The dreaming is so fun.
Yes.
Like just like no parameters. Like I'm just going to let this dream and then the planning can come after that. But letting
Exactly. Exactly. Like the practical parts I'm not super good at, but I'll get better at them.
Yeah. That's all come into play. But letting yourself dream, sometimes just taking off all the limitations and be like, what could it be? You know, what does this look like? And then you start looking at how to like make those things actual reality. But the dreaming is that's where the spark begins, really.
It's true.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Taking the time. It really means so much. And I'm just like inspired. I just excited to put this out there, and people that are living a life or something similar can be inspired by what you're doing and who you are and how you've come through it all.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was great. Well, until next time.
Until next time.
Have a lovely day. Take care.
You too. You too. Okay,
ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way you'll never miss out on any future episodes, plus it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.